Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Let's all stand, turn to Psalm 86, if you would, please. Psalm 86. Last week, on Sunday night, we looked at the prayer or the result of revival is to be revived, to rejoice in the Lord, that God does not want us to be those who are always in pain, always not physical pain, but spiritual agony, always questioning God. He wants us to rejoice, and so we need to call upon Him to be revived, because revival causes rejoicing. In this next psalm, and the psalms are grouped together on purpose because they have common thoughts and themes, but this particular psalm has to do again with prayer, and it has to do with drawing attention to God and what prayer should result in, how it should look. So we'll begin reading there in verse number 1. The Bible says, "A prayer of David." The Bible says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Isn't that just a blessing? It's just a truth. Every time. "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." That statement right there stands all by itself. Thou art God alone. "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." Why? Because you're God alone. "Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I pray that you would draw our attention to who you are today. Help us to understand the process of our thoughts and the way they need to be directed toward you, and how that always should result in us in thanksgiving and praise and worship. And I pray, God, that you'd be glorified this morning. If there's anyone here who's never accepted you as their Savior, I pray today they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because you are God alone. There is no one else. And you've set a plan in place for us to have a relationship with you. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So I pray this morning that we would do just that as believers, that we would understand that the blood of Christ allows us to be in your presence. And then for those who are unsaved, they would see their need for salvation. God, work in us, do what only you can do, and glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The 17th Psalm is like this. It's also called a prayer of David. It's likened unto the prayer of Moses, which we will encounter a little bit further down the line. But here, the Bible is very specifically trying to draw our attention to what should result from prayer. So when we pray occasionally, and so this is in the process of prayer, not at the end of prayer. For instance, let me kind of clarify. It's not the answer to prayer that we're praising God for. It's because we know that God will answer prayer. That's the purpose of this psalm, and it's an attitude. If you remember all of the psalms, we talked about this early on. It's the place where God allows human emotion to be raw and brought before Him. It also helps us to see ourselves and the way our thinking needs to change before God. And so when we ask a prayer request or when we begin to pray, what is it that we are expecting, or how is it affecting us as we pray? A lot of people pray, you know, different prayers. You know, there's the Lord's Prayer that that many religions quote over and over. You go to any type of funeral, and they'll begin to say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." So that's an example of prayer. It wasn't ever intended for us to just quote it. It's words, but it's the structure is what we need. That's what this is. This isn't a prayer. I've heard people say, "Well, I prayed the prayer of Jabez." I don't know if you know who Jabez is, but you should look that up. He prayed a great prayer. But that was Jabez's prayer. It's not one you can just jump on. We sing, we praise, we worship. We can pray in this manner. But the point of this psalm is that this is very specifically a personal cry of David. Just like the prayer of Moses is a personal cry of Moses. Just like the real Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. That is Jesus praying for us, praying concerning his upcoming death and what he prays that will be accomplished in the world because of it. That is prayer. It's a personal understanding, a personal realization that is developed in us. Not just, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." That's not a prayer. "Well, Brother Ron, I pray that every night before I go to sleep." Well, just say, "Lord, thank you for the day. Would you help me to sleep through the night? That'd be a miracle." And that's what I pray while Twyla's laying there sleeping in 2 seconds. I pray, "Lord, if you could help me get to sleep that fast." And I didn't even knock her out. I can't even believe it. I do. Sometimes I lay there, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I start praying. And it's whatever occurs to my mind. Why? Because prayer is personal. You can't just say, "Well, what did you pray to get rid of that, you know, problem?" No. This is observation of God on a personal level. So there are three things here, and then three reasons why in most of these why this happens. So this could take 3 hours. And so we're just going to stick with the threes. So the first thing that we have to realize, that we have to recognize as we pray, listen, before you even begin to pray, an attitude, this attitude's got to be there. And it's this: "Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me. First of all, for I am poor and needy. I can't take care of this on my own. I don't even know what to do. I am poor and needy." "Well, Brother Ron, I have plenty of money." No. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I have to admit to God that I have no solutions. I should never come to God and say, "If you'll answer the prayer the way I'm praying it, then God, my life will be better." Sometimes we need God to answer our prayer completely opposite of what we pray, because it's not good for us, and the Holy Spirit of God knows what's good for us. So He says, "I am poor and needy." That's the first thing that we have to do. I have to understand that I am not anywhere compared to you in solution of problem. It's called humility, because God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. Then he prays, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy." What? I am holy. He's not talking about, in this attitude, "I am holy. This is the added, I've done everything right. No, 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 no. This is, I am holy because you are holy. I belong to you. It is not a reference to what I know about me. Wouldn't that be quite contrary to go from I'm poor and needy to now I am holy? That's not the way the Bible works. It never works that way. You're only holy because God is holy. So think about this for the children of Israel. They were holy unto God because they were His children. That's the idea. I am only holy unto God when I am one of His children. That's why He answers the prayer of His children. Jesus told the disciples, there are things that you are going to have that the world does not have. And one of those is a connection to me and to my word by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So our connection is through the Comforter. Now, what prayer does God answer for those who are unsaved? The prayer of repentance unto salvation. So it may be like Cornelius. God, I don't understand. Send somebody this way. I want to understand. God goes, I would love to do that. So the prayer that He's waiting for from me is to recognize that I am not just somebody. I belong to Him. Remember, this is an attitude. So I'm poor and needy, but God, I have an advantage. I belong to you. Don't ever get the idea that God doesn't hear your prayer as a born-again believer, because He always does. He may not answer it the way that you want or I want, but He is always listening, always bending His ear toward us. When we are in a right fellowship with Him, He will hear our prayers. And we've already been through the psalm that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God cannot hear me. So the fact is, as a person that belongs to God, watch, I have boldness to approach the throne of grace. I have the right to ask. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. There is the definition or what he's saying about holy. I trust in you. When you come to God, do you trust that he's listening? Do you trust? Do you pray sometime like this, and have you ever said this? I just don't feel like God hears me, like he cares. Well, I just trust that he does. What? You have to develop an attitude that goes with this thought process. I'm going to just trust because I don't know. I can't see God. Sometimes I don't even understand what he's doing in my life, mostly. Mostly, I don't know which direction he wants me to go, but I trust him. So you pray for your husband or your wife for many years to be saved, or you pray for someone in your family to be saved, and you're not sure that God hears you. God always hears you. Just because something doesn't happen does not mean that God did not hear you. He's always listening. Trust him. Twyla often says, you may not be able to trust this person, but you can trust God. You can always trust God. There's never a time you can't trust God. Why? Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. God, I desire more than anything to cry to you. Verse number 3 says, I am going to cry unto you. Verse number 4 begins three reasons that prayer is specifically directed to the Lord. So there are three reasons. Number 1, the first reason is there is a need that only God can supply, and that is to rejoice the soul of thy servant. Does that kind of remind you of revive so that I can rejoice? Who's going to give me the ability to rejoice? God, I need a fresh, you might even say, some people say it this way, I think it's a little edgy, anointing of the Spirit. I don't really need a fresh anointing of the Spirit. I need a fresh yielding to the Spirit. God, I'm asking you to cause my soul to rejoice because that only comes from you. Number 2 is, I only call to you because and lift up my soul to you, because you alone are the one to lift up my soul to, for thou, Lord, art good. When you pray, remember that God is always good. Everything bad going on in the world is not God's fault. Hear me. You have a sickness. It's not God's fault. It's because we live in a world full of sin and we're all dying. Disease is rampant because of sin. Death is not selective. It is very much from young to old and everything in between. God, why are you doing this? Is not reflecting your heart that God is good. You can honestly say, God, I don't understand this, but here's what I know for sure. You're good. You're always doing good. You're always ready to forgive. You're always merciful unto all them that call upon thee. God is not selective. He is no respecter of persons, the Bible says. He doesn't hear Twyla's prayer more than he hears my prayer. He might hear Twyla's prayer because she's closer walking with God, but he does not hear Twyla's prayer over my prayer. When I am praying, I have often said this about Twyla, you're one of his favorites, because that's what Charles Spurgeon said about his wife. She is one of his favorites. She can pray something. It can happen. I'm like, wow. I'm just going to get you to take all of my prayers and to the Lord. You go, well, it doesn't matter whether the prayer that I pray comes to pass or not. It doesn't matter whether the solution is the way that I want it or not. Here's the bottom line. God is good. God is forgiving. God is merciful. There's never a time where he's not all of those things. Come on, when we pray, we get this idea that we're praying and, well, what if God doesn't do this? And here's how we pray. And this is the reason that I think it's necessary to look at this structure, is because we often pray and we've already got the solution. We've already got it all planned out. God, if you'll move this way, then I know you're answering my prayer. Which is not necessarily the truth. Maybe God's trying to move in you to change your heart so you'll agree with his will. Well, why would he do that? Because he's always good, he's always forgiving, he's always plenteous in mercy. Aren't you glad he's plenteous in mercy? Because sometimes I've prayed things that God should have gone, why would you pray like that? No, Brother Ron. No. In my lifetime, I am certain that I have not prayed within the confines of what God's will is, and that's why sometimes he doesn't hear me, because when I pray outside that specific structure, I should be led enough by the Spirit to know how to pray. Why? Because God is always good, he's always forgiving, and he's always merciful. He doesn't answer everything the way that we think it should be answered. Hence the reason that God didn't answer every request by David or the psalmist that prayed, God, kill my enemies. Have you ever prayed that? I heard a chuckle. I'm not going to lie. I have. You have? Yeah, I want them to get right, but if they don't, I want them to get out. Well, Brother Ron, that seems very selfish. He is saying, God, I know you're willing to forgive. I know you're plenteous in mercy. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust that you are capable of handling this, and I am not. If I handle it my way, some of you feel so uneasy right now. If I handle it my way, it's not going to be good. I have an attitude of trust. And in that trust, I trust because you're good, because you're merciful, and because you forgive. You are always that way. And because you're always that way, God, I lift myself up to you. Verses 6 and 7, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Note that he says, I will call upon you on thee, colon, why? Because I know you hear and you will answer me. According to my will, no. But according to your forgiveness, according to your mercy and according to your goodness, you will answer me. There's nowhere else to go. Not only is there nowhere else to go, but you're the only one who can do anything about my need. Come on. Don't we go to the Lord sometimes and we already got our need all figured out? If God will just... Watch. I've heard this prayer. Well, we prayed. And we just prayed. We needed a new church. And so we prayed. And so we decided that we need to go over to this church. Okay. What's the church? Well, it's the First Baptocostal Methodosius Baptist Costal Church. Oh, well, that's absolutely different. Absolutely different in doctrine than where you are. So what was your thinking there? Well, we prayed and the Holy Spirit of God led us there. That is not how prayer works. You don't solve the problem. You don't come up with the solution. God leads because He hears and He will answer. So wait patiently. Don't be a person who is driven by your emotion. You don't have a job right now. Wait patiently. You don't have a spouse right now. Wait patiently. You'll be glad you did. You don't have direction completely in your life right now for what you're supposed to do. Wait patiently. Young people, listen to the people around you, but wait upon the Lord. Why? He will answer. It's a fact. These are facts. These are attitudes that David has chosen as, this is not just what I believe, it's what I know about God. I could go all the way, all around the scriptures and tell you that God listens for the prayers of His people. He's always listening. He's always going to answer. Just wait. Wait on Him. Verses 8 through 13 give us the second thing, second reason that we come before God and we pray. Notice here in the first few verses, through verse number 7, I want you to notice here that He prays and He praises. He prays and He praises. He prays and He praises. That's not easy to say. He prays and He praises. He prays while He's praying. He praises God for who God is. Watch, in verse number 8, we see why. Right here in verse number 8, among the gods there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto Thy works. All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name. For Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. It's about time that we take the attitude that when we're praying, there's nowhere else to go with this. He is God alone. Capital G-O-D. He is the only person to pray to. There is no other God. There is no other solution. It's not just a solution I'm looking for. It's a relationship. And there's no one to have a relationship like God. Why? Because He is God alone. It's time for us to start praying to God because He is God alone, like He's God alone. Instead of, well, I have many options. That's Satan telling you, you have many options. The world has many options. I've actually heard Christians preach that the Holy Spirit of God is not necessarily a leader in your life. He's not necessarily going to lead you and guide you in all truth. He's not necessarily going to... He doesn't really care who you marry. God doesn't really care what job you work. God doesn't really care. If you're living in... according to the Bible, you'll do right. And that's all God cares about. Well, why did He give us the Holy Spirit? Because we're not capable of knowing what right is. And that's how we know He is God alone. Who else has provided an internal dwelling of His Spirit? There's not a God that's ever been created on the planet. You have to do all of these works to be acceptable, but here, I'm acceptable in God alone. This is a dogmatic statement. There are no other gods. None. There's no God that does wondrous works like you. There's no God that performed creation. There's no God that developed a relationship with man or wanted a relationship with man. There's no God that can claim, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen up against me. He says, God, there's no one like you that has done what you have done for me. There's no one that can claim the name of being the creator. There's no one who can claim the name of the works that you have done. There is no one who can claim the fame or the name that should glorify your name, because you are God alone. You have established yourself as God alone. Get the attitude that when you're praying, you're not just praying to a friend. You're praying to the Creator. You're praying to one, watch, who's already proven himself. Answering your prayer will not be further proof the way you want it. God is who God is. When you say, when you hear a verse like, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. For those He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. When you hear, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. And you say, what good? How is this good? You're not taking into account who God is. You're just not. Your thought process, my thought process, I've done it myself. My thought process is not correct. I may not see the good right now. I may only see it in heaven. But that doesn't change this fact. God is good. God is merciful. God forgives. That does not change. What needs to change is my thinking. And that's why I now can go to God and pray. Because I know that God is going to do what's good for me and glorify Himself. I know that God is going to forgive me and glorify Himself. And I know that God is going to be merciful to me and glorify Himself, because all of those things glorify Him. This outburst of praise in the middle of this prayer is a recognition that God is God. And that is the reason that we approach Him. That is the reason that we pray. There is no other God that will just let you pray. They all want something. Here's the way they answered prayer to the God of Molech. You want this great blessing on your crops? You want this great blessing on your family? Offer me your firstborn. And so they burned their children alive. The Queen of Heaven says, make me cakes. Make me offerings. Give me fruit. She couldn't eat. She was air. And they did. They forgot that God is God alone. I'm telling you, in 2023, we don't pray like God is God alone. Here's something I already know. We're moving toward revival. I already know. Some of us are going to come out of habit. Some of us have already decided we can't come. How many of us have just prayed to God alone and said, God, I need revival to rejoice. I need my spirit to be rejoiced. I need you, God, more than I need anything that I think that I have or anything that I think that I want. I need you alone, because you are merciful, because you are good, because you are forgiving. Not only that, but God, you are the creator. You have done many wondrous works. I can't do this on my own. I'm tired of coming to church disappointed, disillusioned, scared. I'm tired of it. I want to be in your house on purpose. Well, what would we be scared of? Well, some people come to church going, well, I'm going to feel bad about myself today. I don't even know why I'm here. You and I need God alone more than we need air, more than we need food. We need God. That's why prayer always leads to praise, because as I see my need compared to God's answer of prayer, I can't help but praise Him. And if you're in your situation right now and you haven't gotten to the place of praise, you need to continue to go back and pray, God, I'm needy. God, I can't do this. But God, I trust you. I trust that you can do it. I need you to be merciful for me to be there. Did you notice in verse number 3, it says, I do this daily. This is not just a one-time deal. God, I need your mercy. Look, when we're afraid and we need reassurance, sometimes we need reassurance every day. Do you know who the person that's ready to give it to you is? God. If you'll just trust Him. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I'll walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Note in verse 14, he says, Lord, there are people around me that are not, they have nothing to do with thy name. They don't want anything to do with thy name. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be comforted by you. Why? Because you, watch, always have compassion. Here's something that is very absent from human nature. Natural compassion. No, Brother Ron, I'm very compassionate. No. We have no compassion. God is always compassionate. Always. He sees us where we are. He knows where we are. And here's what he says. God, give me a token of what you're doing in me so that I can take a token. What's a token? All right, I'm going to pull out something out of my pocket. This is not a token. This is a chapstick. But this chapstick is a token. You know what the chapstick is a token of? I carry it because I get dry lips very easily. So it's a token of me moisturizing my lips and keeping my lips from cracking and bleeding. You go, Brother Ron, that's the dumbest thing I've ever had. Yes, but I can show it to you, and then you can say, I have really dry lips, and I say, I use this chapstick. This chapstick helps my chapped lips. Brother Ron, this is really still stupid. Okay. So God gives me a token, and he shows that he's helped me, and he shows his compassion through me, and he says to me now, as he does in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I've been comforted by the comfort of God. I would like to show you how God comforted me through his word. That's a token. I went through this difficult time of loss, but let me show you what God did for me, how he comforted me. That's just one of the ways that we can show it. Our salvation is a token. Why? It should be a change in us, something that's evident in us. Why are you so joyful? Token. Why don't you worry? Token. Why are you acting like these evil people that are against you are not really against you, and you pray for them and you care about them? Why is it that you're going to God and you find such rest? How is it that you can be just at such rest here? Token. God, do something in me that will glorify you in the end. Ultimate prayer. ultimate praise, showing forth God to other people and showing them what God has done in me and for me to pass on to them. And that is salvation. God, do something in me that will glorify you. I want to be different. I'm going to follow your truth. Now show people what that looks like through my life. And I will ultimately turn it all to you to praise, because prayer and praise go hand in hand. If you've noticed the three divisions that we've done at the end or in the middle of every one of these, there's praise. God, I'm praising you for this. I'm praising you for this. It's not just, God, I've got this big problem. I'm going to just bother you with it. No. It's prayer and it's praise. It's prayer and it's praise. Because if you're not praying correctly, you can't praise correctly. Thanks for getting that out of there. You can't praise if you're not praying. Here's what I know. Every one of us need revival. Why? We live in a dark, dark world. And it is not getting any brighter. We are dealing with things that we've never dealt with, or many of us never thought we would deal with. The reason I need revival is because, just like Lot, I can live in this world and my righteous soul can become vexed. Notice his soul was righteous and it became vexed, worn down, useless. So that when the angels come to take him out of Sodom and Gomorrah and they go into his house, and the men come seeking those two men, Lot says, here, do this as an alternative. And the men go, no, look at this man. He came into our gates. He thinks he's better than us. He sits and he judges us. He's acting, no, you give us those men. That's what we want. And the angels grabbed Lot and smote them with blindness. Why? Because Lot wasn't smart enough to know that Lot didn't have the solution to their problem, only God did. God still knows how to deliver the righteous people out and deliver them from these things, but you and I need to come to the recognition that I need to go to God because I'm poor, needy, I have no solution. I need to come to God because going anywhere else is a waste of time. And I need to come to God so that his compassion and his work in me can be a token that I can give people that will glorify him. How do you do this? How do you've suffered all this loss. How do you stay consistent? You've suffered this trauma. How do you stay consistent? You've suffered this. Listen, there's no accusation here. This is an attitude. You either have it or you don't, but you can develop it. It's not like it's lost. Oh, I'm 80 years old. I can't develop this attitude now. Yeah, you can. You just decide. You and I must decide that God is more than we make of him. He is God alone. If that really is true in our lives, we're going to show him in a way that people are going to see a difference. I know we really get wrapped up in just winning people to Christ. And when I say just, I just mean that's kind of our major thing. But you know, there's a lot of people in church that need to see something different in you so they can know there's hope for something to be different in them. A token. This is a token of how God worked. This is how God worked because he's God alone. I had no answers, but God had all the answers. He had mercy on me. He had compassion on me. He's a forgiving God. He's a compassionate God. He's a caring God. He's a good God. He's not like the other gods, because there are no other gods when it all boils down to it. They can't do what God can do because he is God alone. Let me show you. Let me show you what God did. Let me show you. how God worked. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be something that we just aren't. But God is everything we are not and more. And the one thing about God is He's always consistent. If He'll do it for me, He will also do it for you. And vice versa. He'll do it for any person. Why? Because He's not a respecter of persons. He's waiting for us to have the attitude, I'm very needy. I have no ability. God is good. He's forgiving. He's merciful. That's the only way that I can be helped. You know, God is God alone. There aren't any other gods. There's no other solutions. Ron Jones doesn't have solutions. And because of that, there's nothing in the world that can solve this problem. Only God can help me. It's an attitude choice. God, I'm begging you to help me for one reason, that I can show your compassion and have a token so that I can say, the Lord holpen me. I love that word. He helped me and continues to help me. It's not just He helped me once. He helps me. He is the helper. Without Him, there's nothing. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.